Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast of the Center for Science and Culture. Today, we're featuring another segment from the national book launch of Jonathan Wells' latest book, Zombie Science, More Icons of Evolution. Recorded at the Woodland Park Zoo in Seattle, this segment also features CSC Senior Fellows Dr. Jonathan Wells and Dr. John West as they field questions from the audience.
Quick question. The Biologic Institute is out there doing some great work, but what are they doing? What do you project in some fantastic new discoveries that are using intelligent design as the basis of their research?
Well, I think that it's better to wait rather than predict things, to talk about things once you've actually found them out. But I would say in just some sample areas of investigation without going on that, Jonathan Wells talked about DNA not being the whole show. Well, the idea that there's one genetic code or that there's one sort of code sort of that encodes information biologically, I think, is an area for investigation because we're finding out that there are overlapping codes and the same bit of genes may have like 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 different messages. It's almost like having the same letters give a meaningful sentence in 5 different languages. You know, so you have a collection of letters, maybe 30 letters, and they spell out a meaningful message in 5 different languages, depending on which letters that you look at. So I think understanding those different codes, understanding, I know you've written about, you might talk about the sugar code and some of the other things, of understanding just how much information drives biology. And the signature of the cell isn't just DNA, it's actually codes within codes within codes and feedback loops within feedback loops and correction mechanisms within correction mechanisms that all bespeak design. So I think that's one very robust area for research that I know a lot of people in our wider network are looking at, and we're actually funding some things in that area. Also, at the very origin of the first life, of what it actually takes, talked about Miller-Urey. Well, there's a lot we now know and a lot you can do to try to find out what does it actually take to build self-replicating entities. And the more we know about that in the lab, the more you're actually going to learn about the design parameters of what it actually takes and what would be required if you're going to have an unguided process do that. So I think at the origin of the first life, there's also a robust area where we also are funding some things that's interesting research. But why don't you talk about the sugar code a little bit?
Well, there are other codes besides the code sequence information in DNA. When DNA encodes an RNA, first of all, a single stretch of DNA can encode thousands of different RNAs because there are other processes at work. Then that goes on to encode proteins. But once these molecules are synthesized, they have to go somewhere in the cell to do their job. And that requires spatial information that's outside the DNA. It's like a postal zip code. If you write a number on an envelope, it's meaningless unless there's already an area of the city with that code attached to it. It's the same with a cell. So there are other codes. There's codes in sugar molecules, which actually are so much more complex than DNA that they can carry orders of magnitude more information than DNA. There's a membrane code. There's a bioelectric code that people are working on in electric fields around the embryo. So we're really just at the threshold of beginning to understand what life is about. It's very exciting.
To ask the question slightly differently, do you expect the Institute to come up with something that's really dramatic, that is undeniable, that science just can't say anymore, that it's a materialistic world?
That would be wonderful. Stay tuned.
Yeah,
right. I can't say any more, but we have various projects working on doing something like that, and I hope they succeed.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Final question.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So make it count.
Okay. As a non-scientist, but member of the community, if I become aware that a textbook in my school district is being used that has these errors in it, I could come across as a real unpleasant person pointing that out to the teacher, or there must be a better way to make the teachers and the district and the whoever's in the decision-making process aware of the errors so that change can happen on a grassroots level. So what is that way so that we are compelling and not nasty about it.
You sure did make that count. You did a good job.
I don't know how much I should say about this. Many of us, myself included, have tried for years to make inroads on the misinformation in textbooks and the curriculum. Individual teachers, in many cases, have very little say in the matter. They certainly don't get to choose the textbook. The state usually does that, not even the school district. There's currently a controversy in Texas over some standards that teachers are required to follow. It's not an easy battle because the scientific establishment at the universities, which carries a lot of weight with any politician or any school board, is so vehemently opposed to any watering down, as they call it, of the teaching of evolution. So they encourage the use of these icons. They encourage bashing intelligent design. It's not true that you can't talk about intelligent design in the classroom. You can, but you have to bash it, and then it's okay. You can't discuss it. So what's the solution? Well, some of the best students I've met in the past few years, I'm talking about high school, junior high, have been homeschooled. That is, they bypassed the public system entirely. And they were so sharp. I mean, not only did they have a lot of knowledge, they were able to think critically in a way that many public school students I've encountered cannot. What does this mean for our education establishment? Dare I say?
You can say it, then I'll give a counterpoint.
Then you can
object. So we know that we have diverse views.
Well, I told a colleague, one of our Discovery colleagues years ago, that I thought the only solution would be to withdraw all public money from education and give it to parents in the form of vouchers. I would do this even at the university level, with the exception of some things like libraries, medicine, engineering, maybe agriculture. But so much of our tax money goes to unworthy work in our universities and fueling this dogmatic enterprise that is opposing truth.
I do some of what we do on public education policy, and just say that it differs on district, but if you actually have a teacher or biology textbook that does include some of these icons, you certainly can go in a positive way to the teacher, and rather than pick 10 things, pick two of the most ironclad things, and we can help you if you contact us or Sarah Chaffee on our staff, and can documentation, so you don't just bring in a book by one of our fellows, but you bring in the original peer-reviewed research, and you actually point out what's wrong. And you might actually find that the teacher wants to do the right thing. If they don't, you can go up the line of command. You can go to curricular people. You can go ultimately to the school board. Now, I'd have to say, depending on the school district and depending on the area and depending on what the teachers do, you may not reach success. You might, but you might not. If you don't, there are other things you could do. A lot of school districts around this nation, community groups, are free to rent school facilities for after-school activities, and you could actually do sort of your own teach-in that's publicized in the community where you bring in scientists or show one of the Lustre Media films or something else that actually provides the counter evidence to what's in the textbooks. And I will say that students, not just back in the 1960s or the 70s or the 80s, but students are very curious. And if they get one thing in their textbooks and they end up discovering a lot of other evidence that isn't discussed there, they're smart to make the connections. And so it doesn't have to be in the classroom. And in fact, sometimes happening outside of the classroom in other events can be even more influential, because then they begin to ask questions, whether the teacher wants it or not, questions in the classroom about, well, why are we learning this when this peer-reviewed thing says the exact opposite? Or raising questions that the teacher doesn't want to deal with. That sends a message that there's something here important that's worth investigating. The more people try to shut people down, the more it generates interest. So I think that however hostile your own district happens to be, you can turn it to your advantage in a very positive way. And then just bottom line, whether you homeschool your kids, send them to private school, or send them to public school, I'm the product of public education.
So am I.
And I think there were a lot of benefits to that. There were some not so benefits to that. But I'd say, regardless, if you have kids, do not assume that you are giving the government or anyone else the right to raise your kids. And so just because you send your kids to public school doesn't mean that you shouldn't be engaging them. And we have loads of resources. I mean, Jonathan Wells' books are great. Our video productions are great. We're doing shorter videos that are more digestible. We have a curriculum called Discovering Intelligent Design for use for homeschools, but also just if your kids go to public schools, doesn't mean that you can't engage your kids on the stuff. In fact, I'd encourage you, if your kids go to public schools, it's even more important to engage them on what they're learning on all sorts of issues in school. So those are just some examples. But I would like to just leave with encouragement where Jonathan left about Here Comes the Sun. There is a lot of positive ferment now. Internationally, we do a summer program every year, which has graduate students from around the world, including from the United States, from students in biology, physics, chemistry, mathematics. And Jonathan, is that an encouraging time each year?
Extremely. The summer seminar and also our annual education day, which is where I've met many of these wonderful students I mentioned.
That's a good point. So now we're starting in various cities. Seattle was the beachhead, but now in Dallas and probably in other cities in years to come, of an ID Education Day, where hundreds of high school students can come and experience a taste of what this is going on. Many of them are homeschooled or private schooled. Some play hooky from public school. And so I think there are lots of positive things that you can do that you should be hopeful, because the truth is the truth, and ultimately it will win out. We just need to be faithful to it. So with that, let's give a thank you for Jonathan and for all that he's done. Thank you for coming here tonight. Just a couple of things. If you read the book, and whether you like it or not, but especially if you like it, please review it on Amazon. Often critics of intelligent design or critics of some of our fellows who don't even read the books will blast it on Amazon, where they even admit, I haven't read it, but don't read it because it must be garbage. The only way to counteract that is not only to vote down those non-reviews, not just because they're bad reviews, but actually because they're dishonest. They're not really reviews by people who didn't read it, but is to publish your own review on that. And people look at that. That is actually a way you can change the culture. By the more people who review it positively who have actually read the book, people search on topics. And in fact, our books by our fellows are consistently in categories like evolution near the top of Amazon bestsellers. And so you can help encourage to get the word out.
You've been listening to Jonathan Wells and John West answering questions from the audience at the National Book Launch for Zombie Science, More Icons of Evolution. To learn more about Zombie Science and other books by Jonathan Wells, visit iconsofevolution.com. That's iconsofevolution.com. And you can buy Zombie Science online from amazon.com.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.